Are we all sitting comfortably? Can you remember that?
Yes,
then we'll begin. When I was a little boy, I used to sit with my mum and she used to say, "Are you sitting comfortably? The story's about to start." And then, of course, after that, it was woman's hour, wasn't it? Yeah, I was going back a long time. I don't know how far you guys can go back, but not that far. Yes, I can remember sleeping on the table when the bombs were dropping. So that's quite a long time ago. Why on earth have you come today? In a day like this?
Doesn't make no difference when you're inside.
That's right, darling. Yeah.
Weather shouldn't stop you, really.
And we're always inside, aren't we? Most of us, anyway. Inside. When I was a little boy, I think the talk today is about altered states of consciousness, so I better start somewhere. When I was a little boy, about 5, 6, 7, I used to see colours around people. I think we call it an aura. I do again now after many, many years. But up to about 7, I saw it regularly. And it got me curious because my mum didn't. And she was always saying, well, she said one day, go and give your Uncle George a hug. And I said, no. And she said, why? I said, because he's all grey. And I didn't want to be near him. He was this grey colour, not the pretty colours that I was used to seeing. So that was in my early sort of formative years. And I had a bad habit of locking myself in a coal house. We lived in a two up and two down house with an outside toilet and a coal shed. And I used to sit in this coal shed and put the snake on the back of the door because for me, it was the closest place I could get where I felt like me. Don't know, can't explain it. Well, I can now, but I couldn't then. So I had this seclusion sort of mentality when I was a child. And I was sent, I don't know whether any of you have been sent to Sunday school, because I had to go to Sunday school, as if school weren't enough. 5 days of the week, I had to go again on Sunday and listen to a lot of things. And I started asking questions. And eventually was asked to leave Sunday school because I was disruptive. I wasn't, I was curious. They said, God created everything. So I said, yes. I said, so if God created everything, who created God? Just seemed a logical question to a little boy. Be about 9 or 10 at the time, I suppose. And they said weird things, you know. The kingdom of heaven is within you. I said, yeah. And then they said things like, in my father's house there are many mansions. Well, I lived in a house, two up and two down a house. And I couldn't imagine how to get a mansion into that house. Because the queen lives in a mansion, or the king at the time, lived in a mansion. How can you get a mansion into a house? All these things just didn't make sense to me, so I started asking questions. And of course, a lot of questions didn't get answered.
Exactly.
So I went into different isms and ologies, looking at different ways of looking at this thing called us. Is there an us? Are we all one? And I couldn't find answers. I couldn't find answers in books. I couldn't find answers that made sense. So I went back to basics and said, okay, if the kingdom of heaven, whatever it is inside us, and in my father's house, the kingdom of heaven, there must be many mansions. What the hell does that mean? And I started to do something that I'd done centuries before, and that was meditate. At first, it wasn't very successful. I don't know about you guys. How many of you have tried to meditate? Yeah. Quite a lot of you. Yeah. And do you get little voices inside and pictures and images and all sorts of things coming? Weird things, I don't know. I went through all that. But then in the 1980s, late 80s, I decided to do it seriously. So I spent 5 years in retreat, got out of the world, as you would call the world. I meditated, wasted my time for the first 3 years, I think. Trying this, trying that, trying the other. And still this kingdom of heaven didn't materialize until one day. And everything went quiet inside. When I say inside, it wasn't. Actually, it was quiet outside because there was no sounds. There wasn't a sound. I had my eyes closed. There weren't any images. It was just an incredible, unbelievable peace that I'd never experienced before. So I worked on that, and I looked at different isms and ologies and came to a conclusion. An altered state of awareness, when you're dreaming, you're in an altered state of awareness, aren't you? Does your dream seem real when you're in the dream? Very real. Are you aware of the things around you when you're in a dream? Are you aware of your bedroom? The cat in the hall or whatever? No, you've withdrawn, haven't you? You've gone into an altered reality, a different reality. But it seems real. An altered state of consciousness is simply that. When we withdraw our senses from the outer world of sight, sound, touch, taste and smell, totally, we enter an altered reality. And that altered reality is what we visualize inside. Visualize, you know, when you close your eyes and you can see things and imagine things. J.K. Rowling was good at it. She visualized people flying around the air on bits of stick and stuff like that and made millions of pounds. A lot of people do that and worry. They call it worry, but it's visualizing, isn't it, really? And they don't get paid for it. That seems a waste of time and space. But some people are good at it. So withdrawing your senses from the outer world in meditation is really the first step. The problem is all the meditation that is being advertised and put forward on the internet and everything is not really meditation. They're visualization exercises. They're exercises in concentration, contemplation. They're not exercises in sense withdrawal. So if you want to enter an altered state of reality, you've got to withdraw your senses from the outer world. Steve at the back's got some leaflets you can have with one or two pointers on of how to set about starting to do it. Somebody said to me once, is it dangerous to meditate, Philip? I said, it's more dangerous not to than it is to meditate. And I think once you withdraw that outer world and we don't hear what's going on out there, our senses are turned inside, our vision's turned inside because our eyes are closed, you can start to use your imagination, which is not meditation. If you're using your imagination, you're not meditating, you're using your imagination. In other words, you're thinking, right? And this is the problem that people have, is thinking. You see, thoughts are not a problem at all. It is the thinking of the thought that's the problem. When a thought comes, let it be like a cloud in the sky. Let it just change shape and melt into insignificance. It'll drift away. But when a thought comes and you feed it, it's like making it rain. Did I lock the car? Yeah, where did I put the keys? That reminds me, I need some keys for our front door because we're going away at the weekend and I want our kid to come round and feed the fish. I could get some keys when I go down to B&Q. I want some paint for the bathroom. Now I'm painting the bathroom and the thought was, did I lock the car? I mean, where have I gone? Come on. Do you do that? Of course you do that. Everybody does that. Well, you have to stop that. So don't chase the thought. When the thought comes, acknowledge it. Just let it be there. You can't hold it. You can't hold a thought for an indefinite time without it changing. It's impossible. Nobody can do that. So just let it melt away. It'll change all by itself. And then it'll melt into insignificance. 20 years ago, one of my students said to me, she says, Philip, she said, the gap between the thoughts is getting bigger. I said, how do you know? She didn't have an answer. Because if you know the gap between the thoughts is getting bigger, you must be thinking. When I brought it to her attention, she realised that, yes, she realised she wasn't thinking. And then, of course, the realisation that she wasn't thinking was actually thinking, wasn't it? I realise now I'm not thinking. Do you get that? Some people don't. It's a bit of an anomaly, really. See this thing? This may be the last talk I give at one of these shows. And Steve at the back there said, you've got to record it. Don't you record all your talks? I said, no, I've been giving them for 30, 40 years. I've never recorded one yet. So I'm mic'd up. So this little thing is supposed to be recording onto this thing in my pocket. I might have switched it off by accident. What might you experience in a deep state of meditation? I don't know. Because you're different to me, aren't you? What I experience when I go into meditation is about 15 minutes of thoughts drifting about. Did a lot of car and things like that. But they quieten down very quickly when you don't feed them. Sometimes they quieten down within minutes and sometimes 10, 15 minutes. Sometimes only a few seconds. It varies. Depends what's going on in your life at that moment in time. But then there comes a moment where the outer world just drifts away. And what you find is a sense of peace. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling as such. It's just an incredible stillness in which you know everything. I can't describe that any other way. You have to experience it. And everybody's experience is different. The first time it happened to me, big time, was about 24 years ago, 25 years ago probably. I was running a meditation class. I had 200 students at the time, give or take a few. Not all at once. We were running classes on a regular basis. And one night, it was a Friday evening, it was about 10 o'clock. I said, that's it, guys, you know, you're going to have to go now. End of the day. They'd been there since about 7. And they drifted away, and I said to myself, do you talk to yourself? Yeah, most people do, you know. I said to myself, shall I go to bed or shall I have a sit? I thought, I'll have a sit. So I went back into my meditation room, sat on the cushion, put my feet, I used to cross my legs into a lotus. I don't advise that because I had to have my cartilages out. I mean, the leg's not supposed to be up here and up there. We live in the West, damn it. We sit on chairs, you know. So why are we conditioned to have to sit in a lotus on the floor to meditate? You know, you can do it in a chair. You can do it anywhere. I don't advise doing it on a table like this because you could fall off. But, you know, the chair's good enough. So don't strain your body. So I'm sitting there in a lotus, and all of a sudden I felt a little different to what I would normally feel. My whole body was shaking, but it wasn't moving. It was an internal shake. It was like a vibration inside, not outside. I opened my eyes to make sure, and my hands weren't moving. They were just sitting like this. But I was shaking inside. So I closed my eyes again and what I call went with it. And then I felt really shaking. So I opened my eyes again. Well, I thought I opened these eyes. It can't have been these eyes because there was nothing there. There was no floor, there was no walls, there was no ceiling, there was no body. there was nothing. Just light, just an incredible light, and a peace that I can't describe. It's beyond description. And that lasted for what I think was about 5 or 10 minutes. That's all. Interesting thing was that after that 5 or 10 minutes, I found I couldn't move. I was back in the room, as they say. Seen that on the... I do hypnosis, but back in the room. And the walls were there, the floor was there, the body was there, the floor was there. I wasn't shaking, but I was as stiff as a board, and I couldn't move. I couldn't move my legs, I couldn't move my arms. I had to rock myself like this on the cushion I was sitting on and eventually fall over onto my side before I could uncross my legs and slowly get my consciousness fully operating in the body again. Managed to get to the loo quite desperately. About half an hour later, I discovered it was Monday morning. Now, what had happened to Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, I have no idea, because I was only absent for what I think was 10 minutes. So I discovered there is no time. Time doesn't exist, only as we know it now. I'd entered some mystical state for some reason. I've never done it since. I've had incredible sensations of peace since, but I've never had that again. But talk about changing my life, it dramatically did. I had so many realizations. We're not these bodies, we're just using them to get from A to B in. No, these thoughts, we're not our thoughts. We're not even the thinker of the thought, because we can observe our thinking. We can actually stand back and watch ourselves thinking a thought. So what are we? We are pure consciousness. Pure consciousness inhabiting a physical form. Temporarily. And of course you've had many of them. And there's some beautiful colours in this room. If you could see yourself. Have you ever looked in a mirror? And seen your own energy field, your own aura. All you've got to do is look in the mirror, sit about from me to you, and just look at that point on your forehead. Don't look anywhere else. Just allow your vision to soften your vision. Use your periphery, use the peripheral vision rather than the foveal. Foveal vision is what we use for reading, watching television, driving, holding conversations. Everybody does that most of the time. But peripheral vision, that is what you need to work on to be able to see the energy around yourself. And just look at yourself in the mirror. You may see all sorts of wonderful things. You may see your face change into different patterns that you've existed in before. Because you've had different bodies. Your last one was a male. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? What do you see when you look at people? Sorry, my consciousness is slipping a little. That's why my voice changes. I just have to take a breath. If I start talking about meditation, I tend to slip into a more meditative state.
Did you find, if I could ask, that you couldn't open your eyes?
I could or couldn't. I couldn't open my eyes. I didn't have any.
Yeah. I went blind and I felt my body was 3 times the size it was.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, this is an expansion because, of course, not being disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, your body is actually 3 times as big as it is there because your body extends beyond you. The energy body, the physical body, is nothing. It's when that depletes and gets burnt and does away with, the energy body is still there, apart from the etheric, of course, that melts into insignificance, whether physical, but the astral and the mental and the emotional bodies are still there in all their richness, in all their colours. And one sees that in meditation sometimes. How will meditation change your life? Proper meditation. Well, you'll become calmer, you'll become more peaceful, you won't be flappable, you certainly won't worry, because it's a futile exercise. It's an exercise. I haven't got a lot to do at the moment. I'll think about something that makes me unhappy. Oh, yes. And you'll learn how you actually do that, because our thoughts have a structure, you know. Our thoughts have a structure, and we put them in the energy field that's around us. I know it sounds weird, but when I ask people, you know, this thought you're having, where is it? They put their hand in front of them very often and say, it's here. You know, it's not in here, it's here. Has anybody got a worry they don't want? Now? You've got a worry you don't want?
Yeah, definitely.
So how are you doing that?
A bit like you just said, feeding it. Constantly feeding it.
Oh, you're constantly feeding it. Right, if you just come out here onto this chair. Well, that's only if you want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Right? So he's got a worry he doesn't want, and he's doing it. So I personally think that's a silly thing to do, isn't it? Giving yourself a bad feeling when you could be enjoying life. So this worry thing that you have, in your peripheral space, where would you say it was? Point to it for me.
Banging around in the head.
It's banging around in your head. Okay, just close your eyes. And now point to where you're seeing it. Because in your head is the projector. Where's the screen? Ah! So you've projected the thought out there.
Yeah.
So about how far... But excuse my back, girls. About how far out here is the thought screen that you've got? It's about there.
Yeah.
Not any nearer?
No.
Okay, and on a scale of 1 to 10, when you look at that picture, how would you rate the intensity of the worry that you experience?
It depends how much food I give it.
Okay, give it a bit of food now. We're talking now because the past doesn't exist and the future's not here yet, right? Well, it is now, because now is the future of what I said when I put it there. Do you get that? Right. Most people get it. So now... What is the feeling when you look at it now?
I'm feeding the fear.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10.
I would say high. At least an 8.
At least an 8. And you can feel that in your body?
Yeah.
Is that a good feeling?
No, it isn't.
Right. How big's the picture that you're looking at? It's about that big.
Yeah.
Only about that big. Yeah. I've only got a little hand. Right, so if we make the picture smaller so you can put it on the palm of my hand, there, tell me when it's there. Is it in colour or black and white?
Colour.
Okay, and I'll pop it over there. What's 17 plus 3 minus 11?
9.
Okay. So what's different now when you try to look at that picture? Where is it?
Further away.
Oh, it's further away, is it? How far away?
That's where that lady sat.
Oh, she's got it now. Are you enjoying his worry? He's projecting his thoughts. So what's happened to the 8 that you were feeling?
Been distracted from it, I think, because I'm feeding something else.
No, I'm telling you to think about the worry. You could do it before, do it now. What's different?
It's not as strong.
It's not as strong. Why?
Because you're putting your energy somewhere else.
No, I'm not. I'm not touching it.
No, me.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
So don't bring me into it. It's nothing to do with me. It's his energy, isn't it? It's his thought. Why bring me into the equation?
It's because I'm putting my thought pattern to somewhere else.
Oh, right.
The equation that you gave me.
So if you took that picture from... She don't want it.
Yeah.
So if you took it from there and put it over there behind you... Right, and 17 plus 3 minus 5 is what? Difficult question, isn't it? Oh, you got that right. 15. So where is it now?
Be honest, I'm not feeling it now.
Oh. To be honest, you're not feeling it now.
Yeah.
So are you saying you were dishonest before?
No.
All right, but you're being honest now.
Yeah.
And you're not feeling it now. So if I really, really try hard now to worry about that thing that was not going to alter the price of fish in Sainsbury's anyway, but try and worry about it now.
It's behind me.
Oh, is that a good place to have a worry behind you so you walk away from it?
Yeah.
Well, you can walk back to your chair and sit down then.
Thank you.
You see, he deserves a clap because how old are you?
44.
44. Okay. So why didn't they teach you that at school? Right? Because this is what we should be teaching children at school. We teach children how to absorb information and regurgitate it onto a piece of paper, and we don't teach them how to think. And when children get creative, we say, oh, it's just your imagination. Yeah. What the most wonderful, powerful thing in the world is your imagination. This table, I was going to say chair, but it's a table, was first an imagination. And the chairs you're sitting on, the clothes you're wearing, the shoes you're wearing, they were first a thought, weren't they? You thought by imagination, imagining something and then bringing it into manifestation. So why do you imagine doom and gloom and despair and despondency and bring that into your life when you have options? It's not wise. So if you want to use your imagination, imagine yourself on a beach and skiing down a mountainside. I can think of a thousand things. And as you get older, you'll find that thoughts are very easy to entertain yourself because you don't have to do the physical thing anymore. Why? Because the unconscious part of your mind cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is just an imagined experience. It just codes it as real. So if you imagine it being real to your body, it is. You give yourself an emotion. The emotion changes the chemical balance in the body. That causes a state of dis-ease. And then we find the medical profession will give us some pills. Right? Take these Prozac. I've got a doctor on my current course and she's gobsmacked because she sees all these things we do to change people's thought patterns, and all she can do is give them Prozac and say, come back in another month. Yeah. Unfortunately, you come back in another month, you're now addicted to the Prozac and you've got to have some more. And yeah. What a world we've created. We have to take responsibility for our own thoughts. So who's doing the thinking? Yes, what part of us is doing the thinking? So what are we educated to look for, this kingdom of heaven that is within us? You know, why are we looking out there? Why do we have to buy a new coat to get a good feeling? Why do we have to have a car with a go faster stripe on to get a good feeling? Why do we need another relationship to have a better feeling? Because, I'm sorry guys, but everybody on this planet is just looking for better feelings. Isn't that right? And where do feelings come from? Inside you. But what causes a feeling? Your perception, the meaning you give to things. You see, nobody on this planet can make you mad. It's impossible. They can create a situation you don't like. But the getting mad is your department. You're getting mad because they're not playing by your rules. They're not living the life that you would expect them to live in. It's ever so easy to do. I drove into Sainsbury's car park the other day and I said to my wife, I said, look at that idiot there, parked in. He's parked right on one white line, taking two spaces up. He shouldn't do that. It's not in my rule book. So you could get annoyed, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right, but how long do you keep annoyed for? Do you keep annoyed for just a few seconds? Or do you keep it alive? Do you go home and then say to your partner, do you know, I went in Sainsbury's, bloody idiot there, he parked on, there's nowhere, I had to go the other side, I got wet through in the, you know, blah. Does this sound familiar? Yeah, well, stop it. Because it's not necessary to do that.
I see.
You know. Park somewhere else, my dear. Oh, let it go. Don't feed it. Just acknowledge it's there and let it go. It's thoughts are not.
Show human emotion, it releases a lot.
Oh, I'm a big believer in showing human emotion.
Yes, so
joy and happiness and love. And it's not good showing human emotion of anger and hatred and stuff like that. Human emotion of love and joy and excitement and enthusiasm, passion. Oh, that's what we need. It's what the planet needs. It's good to express that. You're absolutely right.
It's wonderful to watch a child, say 4 years old, no worries, is loved and everything, and they're so happy.
Yeah.
You know, watch the children because they are your greatest teachers, little ones.
Yes. Till they want something they can't have, and then they'll try the strategy that they've seen other people use, and that's get mad and stamp their feet. Yes. And you have to teach them it doesn't work. Yes, I think expressing human emotion of joy and love and all those compassion and those wonderful things, there would be no war on the planet. There would be no hostility because everybody could live in peace and harmony. But it has to start inside us. And you're not going to change the situation in the Middle East. You can only change you. And your attitude to it. If you get annoyed by it, you're simply poisoning your own body with unnecessary chemicals. Every time you get angry, you trigger the release of energy from the hypothalamus and you flood your body with cortisol and cortisone and all these stress chemicals that you need to fight and to run away from the problem. And the problem is we're not fighting, we're not running away, we're tending to freeze and all that chemical change is taking place in the body and we become sick and diseased. And we're doing it to ourselves. Nobody's doing it to us. Nobody comes with a hypodermic and sticks all that stuff in us. We do it from our brain, caused by thinking. We're thinking ourselves into illness. Sorry, darling.
Everybody's fat these days.
Everybody's fat.
In the 80s, the girls weren't fat, and now they are.
It's the same age. Yeah, I don't know. Stress, worry, anxiety. Yeah. I lectured on stress throughout Europe to the business community in the early 90s. My wife and I went in right from Moscow through Germany, Denmark, France, Italy, and everybody's in the same boat. Yeah. They're thinking too much. You have to stop thinking about all the rubbish, all the worries. If you can't do anything about it, let it go.
Exactly.
You know, if you've got a worry and you can take some action and do something about it, do it. And then it's not a worry anymore. Somebody said to me, don't you ever worry? I said, no, I have concerns from time to time, but I deal with it. It's something that needs dealing with. I was driving the car the other week and there was a squeaky noise coming from the back brake and I was concerned. So what did I do? I took it into the garage because they know more about cars than I will ever know. And I said, there's a squeak in the back, fix it please. Tell me when it's ready. And I left the car there. There's no squeak now. I took it to somebody that knew what they were doing. It's not a worry then, is it? So don't feed it. Well, I should say, feed something else instead. If you can't do anything about it, let it go. There was a study done on worry many years ago, and they found that 40% of the things that people worried about never happened. They found that 30% of the things that people worried about were past events. In other words, it's already been and gone and been dealt with. 12% of the things that people worried about were health. and aches and pains and lumps and bumps and all sorts of things. 10% of the things that people worried about were petty little things like, will I be able to park when I get there? And that's not good, is it? What shall I wear? Yeah, worrying about money. Yeah, well, go and get another job. And then 4% of the things that people worried about were things like war in the Middle East that we have no control over whatsoever. And if you add all that lot up, it leaves 4%. 4% needed some action, needed to do something about it. So if you're worried about money, is that earning it? No, go and get yourself a part-time job. I've been there, done that. I've had the money concerns that were worries because my mother taught me how to worry when I was a child. I was about 7 or 8 and I'd go out to play because we could in those days. And we used to go out to play, go a mile away onto the common. I lived in Lincoln and the common was about a mile from the house and we'd go down there and play. And my mum would say, be in by 5 o'clock. I didn't have a watch, still haven't got a watch. What do you need a watch for? So my watch was the cathedral. Boom. And when it went boom, 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 we'd count it. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you get to that magic number that says 5 and realise you're a mile away from home. So you run like hell all the way home because you have to be home for 5 and you open the door and your father's there with a big look on his face and he says, look what you've done to your mother. You're blaming me for the state my mother was in because she was worried that I'd been run over, knocked down in the hospital or whatever. Right? So I learned how to do it. I got a degree in it when I was 11. But it's not compulsory. A worry is allowing the mind to fantasize. I'm sorry I put it like that. But you are allowing it to do that because you're not actively involved in doing something else. So if you can't do anything about it, let it go. Just remember to forget the things that you need to forget to remember, and then you'll be all right.
Makes sense.
It does make sense, doesn't it? And when you've remembered to forget it, well, then that's wonderful. Questions?
So say you've got a relationship, okay, and people aren't on the same wavelength as you, then, and you can do something about it, do you get rid of them, or do you drag them up to your level, or do they drag
you? You've no right to drag anybody anywhere, dear. You've no right to change another person. You can only change your attitude towards the other person, because you're only responsible for you.
Because everybody's got a relationship generally, haven't they? Male, female, female, or, mm-hmm. You know.
So you think your relationship would be better if you changed your partner?
Personally, yes.
That's called manipulation. It is nothing to do with love.
Right?
So as long as you know that, that's fine, because most people don't like being manipulated. You see, you want to be right and he wants to be right. You both want to be right at the other's expense.
Well, you can use that analogy for people, but it's not been my case, but yeah.
So you're having a relationship with somebody you don't want to have a relationship with because he's not the person you want.
Yes.
And you want me to tell you what to do. If you had a splinter in your foot and it was hurting you, what would you do? Well, I'm not going to say anything else.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, when people marry class into class, and if you get lower class and higher class, you get different clashes because they don't recognise themselves. Like,
forget the classes, they're just personality clashes.
What I'm just saying, like, we're on the same, we're best of friends because we are at the same level in our soul state, if you like, or whatever, anyway. And we.
If I like. See, if I like.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know,
No, I don't. You're bringing me into it. You're saying if I like, you're on the same. He said, darling, it's nothing to do with me. Right?
Well, say if we're getting on, because we understand each other.
Yes.
But say if you've got a partner that is not on the same level as you at all.
But I haven't got a partner that's not on the same level as me.
I think what happens when you first meet somebody, I think the progress of time, we all change. And it's whether or not you can accept that change within or within that other person. And I think that causes the problem. Because every day, every week, every year, as people, we change, don't we, to life. And it's whether you can accept it, I think.
These are opportunities to grow.
Yeah.
These are opportunities to grow. And we either grow together like that. We either grow together like that, or we grow apart like that. That can happen.
Because you learn of the other people's...
But what you need to ask yourself before you dissolve this relationship is, what have I learned from this? So that you don't go into another relationship and start where you've left off.
Mm. Right? It's been a learning curve, this one.
It is a learning curve. It is a learning curve. Your learning on this planet is purely emotional. If you have an negative emotional reaction to something, that is your opportunity to grow. Because that is lowering your vibratory rate of your overall energy field. Negative emotion lowers your vibratory rate. Positive emotions, love, joy, compassion, raises the level of vibration in your energy field. Your auric field contains many, many colours. Your chakras do also. They're not predominantly one colour. There are a variety of different colours, predominant in some cases. And the energy field around you, you could have pinks, blues, mauves, purples, a variety of different colours. But when you have a negative emotion, streaks, thoughts go out, but streaks of energy go out, and they're horrible, mucky, reddy, sort of horrible colours, and they change the colours around them. It's like having a bucket of white paint and putting some nasty colour in and stirring it in. It gets mixed up all round. And the more negative we become with our worries and our guilt and our fear and our remorse and our angers and our jealousies and our envies and our hatreds, the more that energy field around us slows down its vibratory rate. Now, in my father's house, I'm not a Christian, but I quote this many, many times, there are many mansions. Those many mansions, my darlings, are vibratory rates. They're energy rates. Like in this room, there's BBC One, Radio 4, and all these different television channels at this moment in time. All we need is the equipment to tune in to those channels. Is that right? Yes, you are the equipment, my darlings, to tune in to the vibratory rates that are around you. Now, if you raise the level of your awareness, your vibratory rate, you'll tune into the purer realms, the higher levels, the higher states of consciousness, where there is only peace being transmitted, where love exists. Love is all around you. You're just not tuned into it sometimes. You tune into frustration and annoyance and impatience. They're being transmitted. Who's doing the transmitting? We are doing the transmitting. We're transmitting anger. These anger thoughts go out there into the space around us. Have you never been affected by somebody else's mood? Of course you have. Well, you don't need to be. If your vibratory rate can rise above that. So do away with anger and hostility and all those things, because they don't serve you. They poison your body. And fill yourself with joy and happiness and love. I have a very simple philosophy. With negative energies, I just walk away from it.
You want to say something?
Can I ask about... you said if you can't do anything about it, walk away from it.
Let it go.
So, here, you mentioned the situation in the Middle East, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
we've got a crowd of people out there who are who are committing the most atrocious acts, barbaric acts. But you feel that you must do something about it.
Yes.
You must make your abhorrence known, and you must join with other people.
You mean express your feelings?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. If you just ignore it and walk away from it, it'll carry on.
Yes, I didn't say you can't do anything about it. Voicing your frustration about it, your annoyance, your anger is not going to do any good, but sending love into the situation is a different thing.
Yeah.
So if you're voicing your anger, you're adding to the problem. But if you're just accepting there are souls on this planet who aren't as evolved as you are at this moment, they've not had as many lives as you've had. They're relatively newly incarnated into human form from the animal nature. We have to allow them time to grow, but you can only do that by letting them have the love that you can transmit. So we need to send our love. If you can't do anything about it physically, you can't go out there. And I said to my stepmom, she was 80 at the time, she's been long dead now, I said to her, what's the problem? Because she looked all miserable one day. She said, isn't it awful? And it was a lovely summer's day. She was in her little sunroom and there was a blackbird out on the lawn feeding its young. She says, it's awful. I says, what's awful, Mum? She said, all those people that are dying. So I looked round the sunroom and I looked outside. I said, I'm sorry, Mum, I can't see anybody dying. She said, not here. She says, on the telly. And it was at the time of the Biafran famine where the children were dying. So I said to Mum, I said, so what are you doing about it, Mum? She said, well, what can I do? I said, well, you've got some money. Let's go down to the bank and we'll transfer some money from one of your accounts into the Biafran Famine Relief Fund, and then you'll know that they've got the money to feed the children. She said, yes, but how do I know it's going to get there? It's like I've got rid of one worry, but I've got to have another one now. I want to worry about the money. So I said, look, Mum, if you're worried about the money getting there, let's go to the supermarket. We'll buy some bread and stuff, and we'll pack it in suitcases. I'll get you some airline tickets, and I'll fly you out there, and then you can feed the little. She says, I can't do that. She says, I'm 80 years old. I said, so if you can't do that and you're not prepared to do the other, you have to leave it to people that can do something and will do something. All you can do is send them love. So, you know, that is the answer, I'm afraid. Send love. It'll go. It's an energy. It's a transmittable energy, just like anger and depression and irritability and all the other sort of stuff we experience. We send it out by our thoughts. Thoughts are real. We transmit them into the field of energy that is the thought field that is all around us.
Now, what do you do about people that are close to you, as in friends or relations or however, and they're constantly having negative energies? I try to, if they come to me, I try to give them my point of view and say, well, you could look at that person's point of view, you could look at your own, but... And then I try and step back from it. But I worry that me stepping back from it it's another worry, of course, makes them think that I don't care. I am there to listen to them and advise only from my point of view. But it's really difficult to get that balance, to step back away from it and also show some caring as well.
My advice would be lead by example. You can't force your opinions on other people, because what you're saying is your opinions aren't valid and now I'm going to give you mine, right? No, that's really not the way to do it. The way to do it is be an example and say, I'm here if you want to ask any questions. You know, you can't tell people what to do. It doesn't work.
No, I wouldn't tell anybody, but I would say if it was me, I would do this. I would say it's from my...
Well, that's giving your opinion, you see, again.
Because they're asking for it. But
if they ask for it.
That's what I mean.
If they say, what if a client says to me, what would you do, Philip? I said, it's not me that's in your body. Mm. You know, I can offer you scenarios, but you have to make the decision yourself.
Yeah, come back. On that point then, because I work in the place where there's two younger guys than me, and I have to raise above it all the time, going, hi guys! Like this all the time, but I'm exhausted from rising above it and always leading by example, you know, and I'm worn out. So I'm, I'm moving on.
You're moving on. Decision. She's made a decision today, you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
What I'm saying to you is like, yeah, because you can't always. You get exhausted, don't you? By
You can't.
In that situation, if you can't do anything about it,
you have no right to change other people. And if you're trying to change other people, who's benefiting? Are you trying to get them to change so you can live more in a harmonious relationship? That's manipulation. That is not letting people be what they are. You have to let him grow in his own time, in his own space, and live with that. Or move away from the fire if it's too hot. It is 10 to. There's nobody coming. I don't know whether there's anybody following. Now, Steve has got some leaflets. So you can have one of those. I've got a one-day taster day where we teach people how to do away with worries and fears and anxieties and things on the 25th of March 2017. And that's in the little leaflet like that if you're interested. And I've 4 or 5 websites you can visit any time you want. Lincoln, I live in Lincoln. Yes, I've done travelling now. Sitting in airport lounges for hours on end is not what I intend to do for the rest of my life. Not now.
Thank you. Can I do a plug for my talk?
Steve is doing a talk this afternoon at 3 o'clock. He's really good at shifting people's fears and phobias and worries and anxieties. I met him at one of these shows and I love him to bits.
Yeah.
I'm pleased you enjoyed it. I've got a stand. My stand is downstairs, obviously downstairs. It's called the Anahata Centre. It's at the far end with a beautiful lady sitting there who's my wife. And you'll see it. You can't miss it. There aren't many stands down there anyway, are there? Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Pleasure.